Father, we thank you and we praise you because Zion represents heaven. And one day, we're all looking forward to being there with you. And wherever you are, that's where heaven is. We thank you for the privilege of coming to our services and gathering together. We could pray at home. We could even listen to the sermon at home. We don't have to come here, but we do come. And so, Lord, we thank you for that because there is something about, as it says in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling one with another. Lord, I know that your people are going through many ups and downs here today, and I pray that your word will touch them exactly where that word is supposed to. And we promise to give you the praise for whatever you do because you are worthy of your praise. To those that are listening online right now, we want to thank you and for tuning in and pray that the word of God will lead you directly to where your next steps ought to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, on the 25th is work day here at the Living Hope Fellowship. And Deacon Toms is going to be leading us, and we'll have a list. He and I believe our chairman of the council will have a list of what the duties are going to be to do. I'll be there to cheer you on. I'm not going to take any risk. I think the Lord has been speaking to me real clear about what I'm supposed to do and what I can't do. And I'm going to listen because I need to be in good health so I can take Cheryl these last couple of years all over the world. That's what I want to do. I want to show her some things that, and she's not asked me to, but she deserves it. And so you be praying for me. I don't want to get well and then say, okay, I'm going to go and do what I've been doing. No, I think that's my first church. So, but you can't do that when you're not able to walk and things like that. So today I am walking a little better, and I do praise God for it. Some of you don't know, many of you do know already that I am a retired professor, of which our dear sister is a student at, and here she is doing so well, and I know her family is very proud of her. She preached on the other Sunday. I want to say before the congregation, thank you for your word. God is using you. There's nobody here that does not see the fire that is burning inside of you. And we are all wishing and hoping that the Lord just blows you and Chris up and your children, and that he uses you for service in ways that you can't think or imagine. We want to also say that at the end of the service, there is something that will happen concerning prayer for those in the southern part of the state. How many of you know that the convention your church belongs to has a, first of all, how many of you know that it has a disaster relief ministry, that you know that? All right, I see two of you. We have a disaster relief ministry. How many of you know that the disaster relief ministry of the Southern Baptist Convention is the second largest, disaster relief ministry next to the Red Cross? That's right. The Red Cross is sponsored, of course, by the United States and is funded through your tax monies and gifts. But the Disaster Relief Ministry of the Southern Baptist Convention is the second largest disaster relief ministry in the world. We are the folks that are in yellow. Usually the Red Cross, they're in the red. And so you ask, well, how did they get funded? Well, They get funded through the money that we give and our tithe and our offerings that go to our association and to our state convention, a portion of that. And you can give directly to it. So they'll tell you a little bit more about that when we're through. As a continuing adjunct professor, I had a class on last semester in leadership, and one of the students was wondering why a lot of people have not come back to church since COVID, that they've just not come back anymore. And you probably feel like that in some respects, that people are not going to church like they used to. And so the student did the study, Cheryl, and he came back and I asked him, I said, well, what did you find out? What's the answer? He says, well, you know, I only did a limited study, but what all I can say is that many of the people that I talked to, they felt the church doesn't matter. I said, the church doesn't matter. And so it got me to thinking, does God give us a reason or some reasons for why church matters? And so this morning, what I want to preach on and I want to teach on is I want to give you something to give a voice to, and especially to that population that says church doesn't matter. Where you might be able to say, I don't think this is the only ground, but I think that it is some solid ground that you can stand on why. I'm going to answer the question, why church matters. And we're going to be looking at Mark 2, 1 through 12. It's the story of the lame man that was brought to Jesus. You also find this very same story, almost exactly the same, in Luke 5. 17, I think it's through 37 or 36, something like that. But it begins in this way. It says, a few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Now, Capernaum was the home, for those of you who don't know, that's where Jesus settled. It wasn't where he was born. It wasn't where his parents came from. It's by the sea there. Oh, I forget the name of it. But this is where his home was. And so many people knew him. A lot of his healings take place there. It is mentioned in all of the Gospels. The key thing is that they heard that he had come home, and so they come out for him. They're familiar with his gifts and with his talents, but also with his ability to heal. And this is very, very important to this subject matter this morning. So again, the question we want to answer is, why does church matter? I'm saying church matters. Now we want to answer why, so that you might be able to give an answer for why church matters. You may even be able to add to it. There are five that support why church matters. The first thing is because preaching matters. Preaching matters. They gathered in such a large number, so we're talking about a lot of people in a small space, that there was no room left, not even outside the room, and he preached the word to them. Now, in Luke, it says, and he teach the word to them. So what is the difference between preaching and teaching? Not a lot of difference. The only difference, as I see it, is that preaching generally pertains to the gospel, and it's more inspirational, and it can be instructional. Teaching is more instructional and may not be inspirational at all. That'd be the biggest thing that would say about it. So what is it that makes it then so much of a matter? Because preaching generally takes place in church. It is expected. It is expected that we have a lot of things. It is expected that we have the greeters. It is expected that we have the singers. It's even expected that we have the audio visual today. But we want to have the preaching. We don't want a service without having the preaching. Now, why does that matter? Because the preacher does not, if you remember, let me just stop for a minute. If you remember, one of my first sermons was to you what? Stop listening to the preacher. And what was the first reason why? The first reason why, because if it doesn't come from God's mind and it comes from the speaker, don't listen to it. We come to church to hear from the mind of God. We can call church over right now. That is a point to stand on. Church matters because preaching speaks for the mind of God. The preacher spends time with the book that is from the mind of God. When they stop using the book, when they stop coming from the mind of God, then I stop listening and church doesn't matter. That ought to be something very serious for you as you seek a new pastor. How do they handle the book? How important do they see the book? And is their preaching consistent? I think about last week's sermon. I want to show you what I mean by being consistent and going back and getting to mine. I can't preach my mind. I can't do that. Because if I do, then that becomes philosophy. Philosophy is what I think. I have to do the homework. I have to do the digging. And you do too. Our dear sister who preached the other week, she knows she did too. I have to dig at God's word. It's called hermeneutics. I have to dig at that word, at what did God mean then, so that I can bring it to life now. Here's a picture of it. First of all, I believe that God breathed every word that is in that book. I believe that. So therefore, I'm confident in what I'm using did not come from me, didn't come from you. It didn't come from some great man or great woman in history, but it came from God. God breathed it, as it says in Timothy. It is inspired. And so I have to go back and get that word, what God meant then. To those people then, I have to get that truth. I have to get that inspiration. If I'm preaching, I have to get more of the inspiration. If I'm teaching, I get more of the instruction, the truth. And I have to bring that truth. Now, sometimes that truth will help, will hurt. Sometimes that inspiration won't be so inspirational to you. You won't feel like, hey, that's not really helping me. But I'm saying that if it is preaching, then what you are really saying is we want to bring God's perspective into the situation. We want to bring God's perspective into what's going on. And if I want to know what's going on according to God's perspective, then I must look into the Word of God and then transcend the times. That truth doesn't change to my situation. Example, on last week, we talked about Jesus' grandmas and great-grandmas, remember? And we discovered something. Some of them had some scandalous backgrounds. And there were probably some people that were sitting there in the audience that said, oh, no, Pastor, don't bring up some of those folks, right? You know what kind of lifestyle they had before. But it's in the book. God put it in the Word. And so I don't have any choice. Tamar waited on her daddy-in-law, Judah, to turn over her son to him, to her, to be a husband, and he wouldn't do it. It didn't make her a prostitute. He was the one who saw her as a prostitute and made the statement that she's more righteous than I am. And the truth of that situation is that do the right thing from the very beginning. Do the right thing. I don't care if it hurts. Do the right thing, young people. From the very beginning. It doesn't mean everything is going to turn out the way that you want it to turn out. But the truth of the matter is that God honors a righteous person. the kaiosune. I do it according to the way that God says to do things. Rahab, she was a prostitute. But the truth is, you can change your life. Y'all don't hear me? The truth is, you can be seen as the most destitute, worst person in the world, but God can change you. Stop people calling you a bad name, that you're not that anymore. And you can tell them, that's what I used to be. Ruth, the Moabitess, she's like me. She's from the Bronx. But you're not only where you come from. Do y'all hear me? That is today's contemporary truth of the ancient days of truth. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters where you're going. And I'm going with God. I'm going with the Lord. I hear Ruth saying every day to me, where you go, I'll go. And your God, more importantly, will be my God. You see, when I take on the God, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, who is Jesus Christ, doors open and places open for me that I can't even dream about going or being. So, do you see what I'm saying? Where preaching is so important and why it matters. And we don't want to leave out Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a part of a pretty bad deed. But God showed us something, that his forgiveness is so wide. She was sorry that she allowed another man to take her husband's life and to take her husband's wife. But it was in the plan of God. She was the mother of Solomon, which continued on the nation and right in the line of Jesus. All I'm saying to you, all of that was in Jesus' lineage. Not all of the good people, not all the good stuff, but the skeletons. And I looked at them and I saw my own skeletons. And I said, you know what? I don't have to be my daddy. I don't have to be my granddaddy. I don't have to be my great grandfather. Why? Because I serve the great father who is over everything. And no matter where I come from, no matter what I've done, and I have done some things in my life, I'll take your sins and I'll throw them in a deep sea and I'll put signs up that say no fishing. That's my child. Preaching matters. Preaching, people need to hear from God. They don't need to hear from Ganey, but they do need to hear from God. And so wherever God drops you as his preacher, and you don't have to be the pastor of a church to preach. Wherever he places you, preaching matters. Because that brings God into the perspective. Brings God's perspective into the situation. And it makes all the difference in the world. He preached to them. Isn't that amazing? The preacher, Jesus, who was the head of he preached to them. And he still preaches today through you, through me. If we use his word, we take what we learn in Bible study and what we learn in worship and then tell it and share it. We learned this morning, Bible, you must share it. You must take it out. You must give it away. Don't put a price tag on it. It is the greatest message in the whole wide world. Jesus is Lord. Yes, Lord, indeed. Number two, relationships. Relationships matter. First one is preaching matters. Church matters. Relationships matter. Four guys come to church. They didn't just come that day to hear Jesus preach. They had another guy with them, a fifth guy who could not walk. And they did everything to get him to Jesus. They even tore up a person's roof. They're going to pay for that roof drawer. If he was here, I know you would say, look, we're going to be delivering you a receipt for all of the work that has to be done. terms of that hole you put in the roof. Can I get a witness here? And Ganey, you can't tell them they can get away with that because you don't have that authority. They knew that, I believe, because somewhere, somehow, their relationship with this man was so deep, they wanted to see him better. They didn't know he was going to get better that day. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man. I think in Luke it says a lame man carried by four of them. Relationships are extremely important. Relationships, many of you have closer relationships outside of these services on Sunday. I see you on the links with the text links to one another, and you voice the concerns. And sometimes I raise the questions, how many people are not on the link? How many people don't ever get invited to somebody's home for a supper or a meal? Do y'all hear me? How many people who maybe could just use, hey, would you come by and let's just talk some, that don't get that? You see, the reason why church matters is because relationships matter. You know, I don't care if there's 22 or if there's 2022, I'm going to prepare the same sermon I'm supposed to preach to whoever. So the size of us doesn't matter to me. But relationships do matter. That we really do, as Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of one another. But those relationships have to be deeper than just me sitting with you. Those relationships have to be deeper than just the greeter greeting us at the door and saying it's good to see you. My experience with church is that probably we miss the greatest opportunity culturally and racially to really get to know one another. Because when you have a church like Living Hope where there's so many people from different backgrounds, our ethnocentricity sometimes makes us think everybody knows about me when really everybody has their own culture. And that if I really, really care, if I really believe that relationships matter, I'm going to go deeper with you. You remember when I showed you the film about the Chinese couple, the Chinese young lady, and the Anglo male? They were going to get married, and they were engaged to be married. They went home and they met the family of the Chinese young lady, and he didn't know anything about Chinese. He didn't even know how to eat. And just almost ruined the whole dinner and the marriage. They did, if you ever watch that picture, they ended up getting married. But there's a very simple truth there for us, and that is, if I don't know you in a deeper manner, I don't really know you. And so my relationship with you is going to always be superficial. I do believe that there are people who come to the Living Hope Church that may be on the fringe of the relationships. And I only want to challenge you to reach further, to throw your net out deeper to them and to get to know them. Can I get a witness? Does it matter, you think? Does it matter? Sure, it matters. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. I already talked to you about that. You know, somebody come and tear up the roof. Roofs cost a lot of money. Jesus, by digging through it and then lowered the mat, the man was like, these fellas show true relationship. They were willing to sacrifice. And I think it's good to sacrifice for people in other areas, and especially where natural catastrophes are going on. But sometimes we miss the opportunity that's right in the very midst of us. So number one, church matters because preaching matters. Number two, church matters because relationships matter. Number three, needs matter. This is a real bridge in the message, you all, because when they drop the man down before Jesus, Jesus doesn't just say, "Oh, where'd you pop up from?" Yeah. They stop. He stops. He stops church. He stops doing what he's doing. He stops preaching. He stops doing everything. And he says, because of your faith, talking about the four men, because of your faith, because of your belief in me, because of your confidence in me, and he doesn't do anything for them, but he says to the man who is paralyzed, to the man who is lame, your sins are forgiven. Let me tell you, there's not a person in here this morning, especially adults. Maybe some of the kids, sometimes you get dragged along the church. But there is no adult that is not here because they don't need something. And that's including Cheryl and I. We're here because we need something. We need the fellowship. We need the relationship. We need the camaraderie. We need the ministry. We need to be involved. We need a place to do whatever our gifts and our talents allow us to do. And so we're here. But I'm saying to you that if you want to see growth, then you must think beyond here, because that meets the needs of those here. But if you want to meet the further needs of those who are not here, then you have to find out what are their needs. And then you try to meet them. You know, it's sort of like going to a store, but let me say this first. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son." Of course, this wasn't Jesus' son. Jesus wasn't married. But it was an enduring way of saying, "Hey, I feel you." In Luke, he says, "Friend." You know the song that said, "He calls me friend." He says to the man, "Friend. Your sins are forgiven." Notice he doesn't deal with the paralysis. He does not deal with the lameness of the man, his condition of not walking. He deals with the spirit. He deals with what he feels is the most important thing. And believe you me, I do believe that people who are hungry, Our church back in Vacaville down the road, we had one of the biggest feeding programs in the state. People would come to just see how we fed people. We had trucks that the church bought, refrigerated trucks, so we could transport meat for people. None of those things were more important than the spiritual condition. Am I making sense to you? None, all of that was important, the feeding of the people and the other needs that were met. And it drew a lot of people because we had a lot of ministries that met a lot of needs. We had language ministries that taught the Word of God in Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Native American and Latino language. And I'm just simply saying that when we meet needs, you'll never grow further than your capacity to meet needs. This is why you're here. This is why they're not here. And this is why I need to find out, what do they need? And I have to raise myself the question too, at what I'm doing, does my music fit their needs? Does the preacher's preaching, I'm talking about the manner, not the word now, meet their needs? Do the way we do our fellowships. You know, if you went to a Korean fellowship, they're going to have kimchi. They're not going to have chicken and you know. Like we had the other day, they're going to have what they need, what's most important to them. I'm just simply saying, needs matter. I want to show you a video of a church that stopped meeting the needs of the people and what happened.
I'll always remember 1961. The space race began, the Yankees won the World Series, and that's the year the construction boom came to our neighborhood. At one end of the street, they built a church. It was huge and real traditional looking, the great big tall steeple that you could see all over town. At the other end of the street, they built a grocery store. It was big, too. I mean, it had just about everything a 10-year-old boy in 1961 could ever dream of. A lot can happen in 12 years. And by the time 1973 came around, my neighborhood had changed a lot. The old grocery store was nothing like I remember it. As a kid, you know, it had space-age food in the back and electric cash registers up front. At the other end of the street, that big traditional-looking church, pretty much the same. By 1984, pretty much everybody I knew as a kid had moved out of my neighborhood. Now, there were so many different people living there, and they spoke so many different languages. That old grocery store was certainly not what it used to be either. Now it sold all kinds of foreign food, food with names I couldn't even pronounce. And at the other end of the street, that church with the great big tall steeple, well, things still hadn't changed too much there. My old neighborhood has never stopped changing. Today, young families are moving back in. Kids are playing up and down the street that I used to play on. And as for the grocery store, it's still changing with the neighborhood. Now it seems all you can find on the shelves is health food. I guess it's not been easy, all that change. But it seems like that old grocery store has always been willing to do it if it meant bringing in new business. As for that church at the other end of the street, well, just this last time I visited, I noticed, for all these years, it's finally changed too.
When you stop meeting needs of the people you have, the people that you're trying to reach, you die. You become irrelevant. And there's no reason for people to come to receive the preaching, the relationships, if it doesn't meet my needs. I tell you, if you don't love people because they're a different color than you are, or you don't love people because they're a different gender than you are, you don't love people because their cultural practices and behaviors, the clothing they wear, is different than what you are, then it acts the opposite. It runs them away rather than draw them to you. So we have three reasons for why church matters. Number one, preaching matters. Number two, relationships matter. Number three, needs matter. When we meet, we're like a store. We meet the needs of the population and they will come. Number four, education matters. Georgia, this is right in your field. Education matters. You talk about preaching. But people need instruction, and we need accurate instruction. Because sometimes people take instruction and they alter it. And this is exactly what the Jewish leaders did. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to you that the Jewish church was a state church. And one of the young students that was here, he called me on that, and he said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I don't know if I explained it to him clearly enough. I don't mean that they were a state church like in a communist situation where the state actually runs the church and you teach communistic ideals. That's not what I was referring to. What I was referring to is that the Jewish church, it worked with the Roman government. That's how Jesus got killed. They didn't have the authority to crucify Jesus, but they collaborated with the Roman authorities, and Jesus got killed. But that was something they did all the time. They even had taxes that were collected through the Jewish church. So they were not accurate in terms of coming against and rebuking some things that were not right. Am I making sense to you? They just went along with some things. And we see that in this case right here. Now, some teachers of the law, These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're sitting there, and it was a lot of them, thinking to themselves. That's probably the first problem right there. When you're just thinking to yourself and you're not getting the thought of other people. Why does this fellow talk like that? In other words, he had just got through doing what? Your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know if you can take that to mean that the man received salvation, but it could have been a declaration that, did you know that I have the power to forgive sins? Did you know that I have the power to deal with your greatest issue? There are people who leave these services every week. They cannot walk. They cannot speak. They cannot see. They cannot hear. But yet they are saved. They have a relationship with God, which is the most important thing in the whole wide world. But they're thinking to themselves, and the best they could come up with is in verse number 7. Why does this fella talk like that? He's blaspheming. Now, the word blasphemy, if you don't know this, you may want to write it down. It means to disrespect God. It means that you're saying you can do something that God can do, and that God is the only one who can. In other words, it would have been all right for him to heal him, but to say that his sins are forgiven, only God can do that. Now, why is that important to the Pharisees and Sadducees? Because people paid money for that. They gave offerings specifically to have this prayer done for them. So Jesus is cutting in on their money. Am I making sense to you? He's blaspheming. He's disrespecting God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They are inaccurate in their education, Deke. Ken, they're inaccurate in their perception of who they're looking at. Maria, they're inaccurate of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And if God says your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven. And I say to each and every one of you, the same truth he said then is the same truth today. Your sins are forgiven. Now it's up to you to accept it. You can go on living in the old way. You can go on behaving in the old way. You can go on acting in the old way. You can go back to the old customs. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Your sins are forgiven. There's no work you need to do. There's no service you need to perform. All you have to do is to collect what is yours. They were teaching an inaccurate education because they didn't know who God was. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking like that? You know, that's warped. You've been looking for me to come. You've been all this time since Isaiah looking for this babe in the manger who was born of a virgin. I know it doesn't sound like it's possible, but it's true. It is not my education that is wrong. It's yours. Because if I tell this man to get up and walk, he gonna walk. If I tell this man your last day is today, it's his last day. Why is that? Because I'm God. Just before I go to this last one, it just made me think about, you know, some things I preached to you before. But you remember I showed you the picture of the dogs, the two beautiful German Shepherd puppies that grew up to be, and they were nice and big and fat, and they had on sunglasses, but they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't do nothing because they were not educated. But when they were educated, they became military dogs and police dogs and rescue dogs. Do you know if God could give a dog the ability to be trained and taught to do something, what could happen with you and I? I was told every day as a young person, you can't do nothing, you can't be nothing. A lot of it was because of color. A lot of it was because of where it came from. I thank God for a mama that said, you can be anything. Your God will supply your needs that are in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is put your life in his hands, and he will make a way for you. Your gifts will make room for you. And I believe that instead of the other. That was a big difference. I believe that instead of the other. And that was my first teacher in Christian education, Georgia, my mother, right in our very home. I'm just saying to you that if you don't have the benefit, if a person doesn't have the benefit of Christian education, just think, all they have is the sciences, the math, the English, or whatever else that we teach that changes all the time. But the Word of God lasts at least for a month, right? A year. The same truth then. Remember I said a minute ago. The same truth then is the same truth now. And therein is why education matters. That's why we teach. That's why we preach. We preach with thus saith the Lord. We teach with thus saith the Lord. Last one. Oh, we got down to it. Oh, here we go. God's power matters. How many of you do really believe in God's power? You know, how many of you believe that when you get short, God never gets short? How many of you believe that when you can't go any further, God can go further? How many of you believe when you feel like giving up is exactly when God kicks in? Why is that? Because he's got all power. All power. Oh, you can't preach about it. You can't teach about it unless you preach this. It's why church matters, because God's power matters. Every time I get sick and I feel like that's the last time, I remember I don't have the last word. God's power. Which is easier, he says. I like the way he says that. To say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority. That word exousia. He has authority power on earth to forgive sins. He has authority power on earth to say, I'll take your deficiencies and I'll lengthen them. He has authority to say, it may be you against 10, but that's all right. Whoever is for me, then the rest is against me. He has the power on earth to forgive sins. And so he said to the man, I tell you, get up. I thought you were going to say that this morning. You know, it's not just get up, but get up. Take your mat. Take that bed that you've been laying on all this time. Take this bed that has become associated with you. You know, like Rahab the harlot, you're the man that's on the mat. That's old Bob that's always laying down over there. He never gets up and does anything. He's on that mat every day. Well, Jesus says, get up. Pick up your mat. Go home first and tell your folks at home how great God is. And then tell your community how much power God has. And tell the community of Lafayette how much power the Lord Jesus has. And the power that he'll use in your life, in my life. You see, this is why church matters. Because God's power matters. Where else will they hear it? I don't know what you came in this morning feeling like giving up on. But God's power matters. Went to a grave on Friday. Laid there all day Saturday. But Sunday morning he rolled in all power. Wrapped up in his hands. He's got power. Even death can't hold him.
Church matters. Where else are you going to hear it? Where else are you going to see it demonstrated? Where else are you going to get the testimonies? That's why they come. I bet you a lot of people that were in the fires and that were in those hotels, I bet you they're having church this morning. Somebody went to them and has got church there going on at the Marriott or some other place praying with people. Why? Because church matters. They were amazed. Number 12, last verse. He got up, took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everybody. Everyone. I have to watch out how I use colloquialism. I called Oprah last week. Oprah. I forget to talk about her name. This amazed everyone, and they praised God. We've never seen. You know, I'm going to close with this. Church matters because a changed life is the most powerful witness in the world. A life that has gone from this direction to this direction. Can I get a witness? How many of you know you've been changed? I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed because the angels in the heaven have called my name. I remember the day that Leroy got saved. I remember it well. I was there. I hear the angel saying when he called Jesus' name. We've never seen it. Anything like this before. Church matters. Come on and tell me why church matters. Number one, preaching matters. Preaching is the word, God's word, to the population. That perspective. Relationships matter. Needs matter. You'll never grow any larger than the capacity to meet needs. I pray you'll teach this beyond this sanctuary because church does matter. Education matters. It is not accurate education if it is not Jesus informed. It just isn't. Everything passes away. We're in a new place now, and we got all the technology and so forth, but that'll change. I don't know where it's going to go, but I do know it is. Nothing stays the same. We're still unfolding what God has already made. And then lastly, God's power matter. How many of you still believe in the power of God? Does he still heal? Can he still mend the brokenhearted? Can he still fix financial situations? Can he still fix marriage situation? Stand to your feet if you believe that God still has the power. And all if I just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. I'm looking for a change today. Why? Because God's power is the same power yesterday, the same power today, and it'll be the same power tomorrow. Church matters. Go tell somebody why church matters. Can we give God a hand clap? Tell the person next to you, church matters. Church matters, Jasmine. It matters. Preaching matters. Relationships matter. Needs matter. Education matters. God's power. It's power in the blood. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would come forward while our worship ministers come forward. And we want to extend the invitation to you. And the invitation is, number one, if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sins, he's already said your sins are forgiven. Your sins were forgiven on the cross. Matter of fact, I like the way the book says it's nailed to the cross. Can't nobody even pull them down. Nailed to the cross. And if you won't accept it, then it is acceptable for you today. Maybe it is your day to let others know why church matters to you. And your commitment is to go and tell them. Maybe it's in your home. I don't know. But I'm going to stop. with just simply, this is what I think, and I'm going to start with, what does God think? And bring his mind into the situation. The doors of the church are open. Won't you come?